Welcome to Exploring the Mystical Side of Life with your host, Linda Lang.
Hi, this is Linda Lang from ThoughtChange.com. Welcome to Exploring the Mystical Side of Life. We hope you enjoy today's podcast. I have David Krafchow with me. David is an author and a scholar of the Torah and Jewish mysticism. Welcome, David.
Hi, thank you, Linda, for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about the Torah, first of all, and just give people a basic understanding about what that is.
In general, Torah, it comes from the word or, light, and Torah makes it like teacher. So these are the teachings of the Jewish people that are broken into four levels, the written word, which is prophecy, and then three levels above, which is the oral tradition, which grows throughout each generation. So it's a very complex thing, but we can all participate in it, you know? It's meant to bring light in the world.
We certainly do need more light in the world. Absolutely. Now, you've just written a book about Zohar, which is an aspect of the Torah. Perhaps you could speak specifically about what that is.
Well, just like I said, like Torah is built on the word or light, so Zohar means brilliance. So the Torah, it is light, but the Zohar is so much light that no one could see it until our time. It was meant for our time when we are in the darkest of dark. There's nothing darker than our time. There is nothing lower than our time. That's why we're destroying the world, because we're in such darkness. We don't see anything but the physical. And that's when the Zohar was meant.
So what kind of teachings or wisdom is contained
in the Zohar? Well, I would say that it mainly has to do with creation and with the structure of creation. And the reason why that is so important and why we could not understand the Zohar until our time is because it's not until this time that we had actually apparatus like telescopes and satellites that we could see it. And then we can look in the Zohar and see, ooh, that's exactly how the Zohar is explaining it. And it doesn't just explain it, describes it, but it teaches us how it came into existence and why it came into existence and where we are in that existence. And all of that can only be corroborated in our time now, when we can actually look out into the universe and say, oh, there is a black hole there. And oh, all the stars are connected to that black hole, and wonder how that black hole came to be. And that's my book, Zohar Beyond the Black Hole, except hole is written with a W, because it's not that there's nothing there. There is the completeness there. There is the what we call like the singularity is there.
How would that knowledge benefit humanity?
Well, we're all taught that, little children, everyone's taught about the Big Bang Theory and about the idea that if we have life on this planet, there must be life somewhere else. But the Big Bang Theory is really scientific lingo for we don't know. If something happened, we don't know what it is. They can't say that. They're scientists. They have to make a theory out of it. We'll just call it a Big Bang. Something happened. Now we can tell you a bunch of stuff about it, but how it happened, why it happened, we just assume that it's just an accidental thing. It just happened. Whatever it was just happened. But there's problems with that because they find the sameness, like the atoms are the same throughout creation. And so the Zohar really puts light upon it to explain how it came to be that way, why it's like that, and who we are in the solar system. So life didn't just happen. Life down here is so special, and there's a sign that nothing else could have, which is on the only planet in the whole universe that we've found, and we've looked at a lot of them, we have also a perfect eclipse of the sun by the moon. And that's impossible. That's impossible. That is a sign that this place is really important. As human beings, we're all important. That's the significance of this knowledge, that if you understand how important it is, who we are and what we're not going to let people, die on the streets. You know, in LA, they're just, you know, they're like the garbage. They just lay on the streets. It's like, it's terrible. Why? Because they haven't been monetized. There's no way to monetize them, so they're not worth anything. But they're all, each one of them has this precious soul that we all, you know, we all have, this individual soul that is a, they call it a nitzutz. That's a spark from the original engraving that created all these shards we call stars, and everything is focused down into this world to us at this time. It's an enormous time, but no one has that perspective, and that's why I've written the book.
Now, you mentioned that the earth plane is the lowest of the low.
Yes. Yes, we are physicality. Everything around us is spirituality.
So everything else has that inherent knowing of spirit, of creator. And here, although we are connected, we can't disconnect.
Yes.
We maybe aren't aware of the connection.
Precisely. We're not supposed to be aware because it's something we're supposed to discover. We're supposed to use our free will to decide, do I want to spend my life running after pleasure or money or power? Or do I want to try to see what's really going on? What's the truth of life? And maybe then I can do something that I can be proud of in the next world. See, why? Let me just add this one last thing. Because God, the emphasis for creation is God, the creator, wanted to be known in low. And that's us.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Yes. It's a beautiful way of perceiving life. And it just really settles all the questions.
Does the Wisdom School have any suggestions, I guess, of how to kind of wake up that spiritual spark within us?
I was reading in the Zohar recently, and it was talking about how God's going to make war on the wicked. And I'm thinking, what does that mean? How do you make war on the wicked? Well, what do the wicked do? And we see it really in our time. They lie. And the war against the wicked is to bring truth to the world. And the truth will defeat the lie, no question. Be just like a little bit of light, like illuminates a whole big room of darkness. So that's our job. Our job is to bring these true perceptions of reality and of God, that God is not kind of some kind of spiritual entity. You know, God created spiritual. God is not spiritual. Therefore, God can be everywhere all the time to everybody, which is the original Abrahamic message to the Semitic people, the Jews and the Arabs. That one means not of creation. Therefore, God is everywhere to everyone all the time. So we don't need to really go anywhere to talk to God. We don't have to do any particular thing. But what God wants is to have a relationship with each of us. Each story is beautiful to God.
Well, I think in general, we definitely do look at things from a very polarized view, good and bad, light and dark, spiritual, non-spiritual, and yet that spark is within everything. That's what you're saying.
Yes, absolutely. Nothing exists without that spark.
So how do you open your heart to recognize that spark when there's something before you, an experience perhaps, or an injustice, could even be a person, that seems contrary to that love and light?
You know, God makes everything equal. For the amount of light there is, there's an amount of darkness. But in our world, it's really all darkness, and there's these little bits of light. See? So these things, the injustice, lies, that's the world that we live in. That's what gives us freedom of choice. If there wasn't that, everyone just saw what was good, there'd be no freedom of choice. And God wouldn't truly be known in the world, right? It'd be like, you know, what's the choice? Here, there's a real choice because most people, we're in a world of darkness. Most people like the darkness. They like lying. They're good at it, you know, and they get all the things. They have the power. but they don't see what life is about. So in my mind, and I mean, the heart is higher than the head. There is no, because the heart's connected to God. But the head is what gives the heart the freedom. So when the head understands it, then the heart has the freedom to love and to have the understanding of the heart, which is really a much greater understanding. But I'm, you know, I'm a man, I'm logical. That's who men are. We're very much of the head, but it's supposed to protect the heart. So these ideas really would protect the heart from being abused or taken advantage of by the law. So that's how the head is really supposed to harbor the heart and allow the heart then to really express the truth in the heart, which is beyond logic.
Do you think that in this transformational time that we're going through, that there is more light being opened up in people's hearts, that they're starting to have a little bit more compassion? Do you think this is a time where more light will be opening the hearts and minds of men?
Yes. Here's what's happened. See, this is also like in my book, Zohar Beyond the Black Hole, is that we are on a time schedule and there's a calendar and we're at 5,781. And in less than 220 years, the calendar will end, just like the 5,000 year Mayan calendar ended, you know, a decade ago. And what happens when it ends? That brings in 1,000 years of woman and of peace. Just like in the Jewish calendar, that you have 6 days of work and a seventh day of rest. So each day corresponds to 1,000 years. So we're right at the end of the, you know, the final day of creation when the human being is created. And this is when man needs to come forth and hold woman above himself. That is the transformational thing that has to happen in our time. And that will get us ready then to merge with 1,000 years of woman in peace.
There are a number of ancient cultures that really had such a deep respect for the feminine and teach that the rise of the feminine needs to come back.
The only way the rise of the feminine can come back is if man holds woman above himself. That's how she rises up. She doesn't rise up by herself. He must be lifted up by man. Man must respect woman and lift her up. And her agenda needs to be the male agenda, you know, instead of the male agenda being the agenda. If the agenda is from woman, we're not going to be going up into outer space and despoiling the world, because women are about life. And that's what we need to support. In the Torah, it looks at this time as like a birth time. So when a woman is giving birth, the male agenda no longer matters. All that matters is the woman. And that's what we're going into. And depending on how awake people are, will decide how much difficulty and suffering there'll be in order to get to that place. Everyone's trying to find a way of how to not destroy the world. The solution is very simple. If we all together consume less, then the world will not be as hot.
Yeah, there's definitely some shifting that needs to happen, for sure.
Absolutely. And it has to come down to the countries. All my life I've been watching this, and it's just terrible how they just assault the people and use the people. And this is not right. The human being is like the greatest thing in creation, in the whole universe. There's no one like us who can have a thought and articulate it into speech. No one can do that but us. You know, and we should have respect for, you know, the human being. The human being is entitled. That's a big thing in America, you know, entitlement. The human being is entitled to food. We're entitled to housing. Certain basic things have to be, you know, accepted by everyone. And I think that there is a certain entitlement that every human being, you know, has. And if you give them that, they're more likely to be a good human being, you know, and be productive and You know, in Torah, the idea of freedom is being able to do the work you love.
That is a common goal right now in Western society, particularly to listen to your heart and to follow that path. So, David, is there anything else you'd like to share with us about the Zohar before we wrap up?
Oh, you know, there's probably a million things, but the things that I always feel like I should mention to people, and you don't have to go to the Zohar for it. In the Torah, it says the commandments of the Torah commanded the Jewish people, 613. One of them is that Jewish men cannot be with other men sexually. But that's as far as it goes. There is no restriction on other men who are not Jewish or on women. Women are not even considered sexual. And also that people should know that life begins at 41 days. This is corroborated by Torah, the Quran, and by medicine. The zygote becomes an embryo at 41 days. And that's when it's determined, that's when the soul comes in, which means God is pro-choice for the first 40 days after conception, giving every woman an opportunity to decide whether or not to become pregnant, and it's not an abortion. And shame on the rabbis for not telling the people this.
Thank you for putting that little bit of clarity out there. Now, if anyone would like to explore Jewish mysticism, how would they connect with you?
Well, I have a website, and I have a number of books that I've written and published. And my website is davidhaus.com. And I'm always just open to people. If people have questions, and I'd be happy to answer people's questions. And so I'm just really kind of dedicated as much as I can to try to put this new reality into the world. Like yourself, and you hear this, and it's just beautiful. It's everyone, we're all together. We're all equal in this. God loves us all. There's no question. And it's just a question of what we do with our lives. But if we know the truth, we're more likely to do something really beautiful.
So true, so true. And your book is called Zohar, Brilliance Beyond the Black Hole.
That's me, man.
So one more question for you, David. How did you get the understanding that you have written about in this book?
Well, I began this journey when I was 26 years old. So it's been like 50 years that I have been doing this, and I have studied every day, and I pray every day. I try to do, I'm not a religious person. I don't really believe in religion, but I try to keep the Torah. I try to be a good Jew. And it's from this learning, continually learning and learning, the more one learns, the more doors open. But it requires a lot of, call it yigia, not energy, but like diligence. See, that's the main thing. You know, who was it? Edison, I think he said that genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. And that's certainly true in Torah. And so it's like digging into this cave and finding jewels and then eventually finding the rock of rock. You know, I've just worked at it and worked at it, and God has given me these jewels along the way. You know, every time you get a jewel, you just want to go further in. And now I learned the Zohar, and I'm so happy for all this work I put in, because I can just sit and learn the Zohar, and it's just wonderful. It's like being bathed in light every day. So that's my story, I guess.
Well, beautiful. Thank you for sharing it with us today, David. Thank you for being my guest.
Thank you for having me, Linda. Really, really a pleasant conversation.
And thank you for listening to this week's edition of Exploring the Mystical Side of Life. You will find all of our conversations on YouTube, Apple Podcast, on Spotify. If you enjoyed this podcast, please check out some of our other episodes and visit me at thoughtchange.com and learn what energy medicine can do for you. That's it for this week. We'll see you again next time. Bye for now.